Good morning, mi amor, mi reina. Vicky, it's Thursday morning, March 28th, about 7:30, and I'm driving to Indianapolis. Probably holding the microphone too close. Smoking a cigarette. I didn't have a chance to write tea last night. Things have been hectic this last day. I don't really want to go to Baltimore. And I ended up not... Oh, fuck. I ended up buying a ticket, or getting a ticket from my brother's mileage, so that helped to solve the problems of the cost, but I'm still paying hotel, and it's an extra burden that I didn't really want to incur, because it's not really that important to go to this thing. So, anyway... I don't have your letter in front of me to read and to reply to or comment. I just know what I have in my heart and what I'm feeling. And I guess it's been a night. I guess it had been building, you know. I felt in February you doing your stuff, changing around, jobs, getting shifted around, not really knowing what you were doing or what was going on specifically. And my own situation was I was traveling, did that Al Jazeera thing and so forth. But I just had this, I guess, since my visit to Atlanta, that 8-hour layover that in seeing you. I just had that sort of anxiety of needing to see you, needing to connect with you at a deeper level. Well, that's an odd thing to say, you know, because we are connected at a very deep level. I guess to feel tangible manifestations of it, to feel immediately connected, not just that deep love. And as those feelings of wondering what was going on with you, where you were, what was going on, and wanting you, needing you, needing contact. So things sort of came to a boil. And yeah, I had been giving you little signs and signals and asking you with some patience about things, and then there was no responses, so I did get all upset. And when I read your letter, all I thought about was, you've been telling me recently, throughout January, that I give you so much, and you give me nothing, and you give me so little, and that so little just felt like nothing, and it was upsetting. It was making me feel really bad, and very angry at myself, and wondering how I could have invested thought through my mind the kinds of things that you've been texting me and the kinds of letters that you had written to me, and wondering where and how, what had happened. Unequivocal in telling you that I would do anything to be with you. And when I've pressed that point upon you, you've responded. Hang on a second. Gotta open the window, throw the cigarette out. Responded, for example, once early on, you said something like you wouldn't be mine tomorrow, that implied something, not tomorrow, but when, someday, somehow. So that's, I realize that you're in a situation, fuck. Car issues there. That you're in a situation, you know, I said it over and over again that I'm willing to be third on your list. Priorities. And just having your love, when you were giving me love, was so important to me. It is important to me. And I started to feed on it in a way that was addictive and addicted. With that, filled my heart, filled my life, you filled my life. How you are, that you disappear at times, doing your things, finding your own space. It's not as if I'm right there with you and I can see you or see what's going on in your expression or in your body language or in your voice, tone of voice, and I can say, okay, this is what you need, and I can give it to you, whether it's hug, a kiss, love, comfort, space, time, distance. It's I don't see it there. I'm not there to see that. To see what you need. To be able to give it to you. And I love giving to you. God, do I love giving to you. Fills my heart. It fills my being. And I know I'm not the only one in your life, and giving to your girls, of course, is as powerful, and in a different way as powerful or more powerful, of course, than having a partner, a lover, a husband, a soulmate, whatever you want to call that stuff. But I was lost in your love. Is sometime, you know, and sometimes I would imagine that sometime as being 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 5 years from now, 3 years from now, not tomorrow. I know that's not tomorrow. But I had really invested in being able to see you in Atlanta. And then when that didn't happen, really invested in being able to have some time to talk with you about what is that sometime? Is there really a sometime? Is that at all a possibility? Or is that just something that an idle desire and wish that you mentioned once in an email? That maybe not tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but someday we could be together. I can live for that. I can live for that. But there's such intangible, it's so intangible what's going on between us. Because it is pure feelings, it's emotions, it's connection, it's deep, it's sensation, it's feeling, it's sensational. And thus it can also be ephemeral. Seem to be ephemeral. You know it's not ephemeral. I know it's not ephemeral. And it's so painful. It's so painful to want you so much. That point of needing to feel that connection, to have that substantiated, manifested. And I'm sure it's just a burden for you at times. In February it was over the top. You had other things going on again, but I wasn't really kept in the loop. So being kept out of the loop, I can't find adequate ways to reply, or to respond, or to relate to you. I'd love to make you happy. I'd love to make you happy. I'd like to make you happy every day, every minute of every day. To be connected to you. Communicate my passion. Have it. live a different life. You live in a different world. And that's the fantasy. That's the illusion. I don't know what you want. Point to more than just a text here and there, a text message, how you doing, or telling me that you're doing this, or telling me that you're doing that. Tell you about what I'm doing in my life without getting feedback, it's just as easy for me not to say, to save that energy and do other things with it. Anything. Yes, the last month I've done just about nothing with that energy. Just the usual, the routine, barely more than enough to get by. But then I just get think about some of those messages, and I have them. Messages where you just say, I love you. Where are you? I need you. I masturbated to you with thinking of you. You need me. You need your Quetzil fix. I don't know. I can't. What am I to do with that? What is that supposed to do? What is that, if not creating some other pulling me into something? If it's not that you want me in some kind of plan, in some kind of something more, well, what's the point of that? I love you. I know you wrote me more than once how you were afraid of hurting me. And then when you wrote that email, I kept on thinking about the first time you told me that you talked to your friend, and your friend said that she was all worried about you getting hurt again. And I don't see you being hurt. I don't know. I don't know how you would be hurt. It seems like you got what you wanted. You got what you needed for that time period. Transition from not working to work, to change jobs, to changing status of the jobs, to changing status again, to starting a new contract work with this guy in Europe, to that's the negative interpretation of everything, right? And I know that that's not in your heart to use me or to manipulate me. I know that. And so it hurts to feel that might be it. Hurts to feel that I let myself get hurt, that I dream something that is not viable, that is not at all something that you even have an inclination about. clandestine texting with each other and emailing with each other here and there for the next 20 years, for the next rest of your life? Is that what you envision? That's not what I envision for myself. That's not what I envision. And yes, all of this happened. It sort of started when that woman, Claudia, called me out of the blue after a year. The whole thing started a year ago, my birthday, when I decided I would do something special for myself. Forget about this other girlfriend and go visit Claudia and just, whatever, see what would happen. Enjoy being in Houston, visit old friends, and that was that. And then it became this nightmare where she fought with me instantly about how I, and even culminated in dinner where she would, the first night, telling me that she doesn't even know if she likes me as a friend or can get along with me. And so a year later, she decides to call me and respond to my emails and tell me something about why she, whether she likes me or not as a friend, and ended up simply just telling me that I was treated her badly, and I did everything I could not to. And I was like, there's no point. There's no point in responding and engaging in a debate about you did that, no, you did this, because wow, neither lovers nor even friends, so what the fuck was the point of even engaging in that shit? And so that's how that started out. And I tried to talk to you about it, but you weren't really there to listen to it or to hear about it or to pursue the conversation. But that's the question, right? An old girlfriend getting back in touch and talking once a year, once a month, once every 6 years, once every 3 years. What's the point? What's the objective? What does that work? What does that do? What does it do for your soul? What does it do for you as a you, me, anyone? What does it do for one to have that? Kinds of demands are being placed on it. I am straight up with my demand. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I don't know how. How it could even be possible. But at least coming to the table with you, discussing whether that's something that could even be viable, could even be a possibility, and how could it be a possibility? That's what I really wanted to try to have happen in February, this spring. And, you know, I don't know, maybe this is that moment. I have no idea what's been going on in your life in the last month. I'm assuming that you've had a great success in the things that you do, in your work, and shifting from this work to the other work, and going part-time, and contracts, and all that sort of thing. Why not? You are immensely capable and skilled and smart, and why wouldn't it? And you're having more and more time to be with your kids, which is really an incredible joy in life. It's an incredible joy for you in your life, and that's love to be able to share that with you. But the point is, how? If it's something that you want. I know not tomorrow, but at all. And when, if there is a when. Be a when, not in the short term, obviously, nor in the long run. That's what you communicated to me, and if that's not correct, then you need to say something to me. Wanting but being afraid to do it or afraid about how to do it. And so that externalization of him saying it to you was sort of reiterated, I'm sure, your own internal, connected with your own internal. Machinations on the idea. So, I want want to know if there's a when. And how to get to that when. And your letter was very clear. There is no when. I don't want to say anything, you know, negative and attribute bad intentions to you because of being hurt and feeling stupid and feeling lost, pathetic. And I didn't respond because I didn't know how to control, and your letter was clearly not giving me any place to say anything about anything. So your email today or yesterday was, is that it? Yeah, well, it's not for me to decide if that's it. You decided. Thoughts. Oh, wow. All that stuff that he said about loving me, and it just disappears. Dissolves, evaporates. It's gone with this one email. Probably irritating you quite a bit and making you upset, and making you think that it's all an illusion yourself. It can't be undefined. Even if it's intangible and abstract and clandestine and all these characteristics that make it look from the outside ridiculous and absurd or negative and bad, hurtful or manipulative or addictive or pathetic, whatever might it look like from the outside, or sometimes have its shape, its feeling, its aura, its from the inside, from you, for you or for me. If there's no definition, then yeah, but with definition, definition is all, is the whole trick. Can we define it in some way? Because it was not defined. And without definition, there can only be pain. Shit. Looks like one of my headlights is really bad. Okay, I'm gonna stop this and roll another cigarette. I'm sitting at a stoplight, and I could very well miss my flight to Baltimore today.